CliffCentral.com.
I hate you, I love you, I hate that I love you. Don't want to, but I can't put nobody else above you.
It's Nash with I Hate You, I Love You, featuring Olivia O'Brien.
You want her, you need her.
What's that been?
From Thug Week to this.
Yeah, well.
Talk about a reset.
Yeah. It's nice. It's got a great music video, too. All right, everybody. It is 12 after 7 on a Monday morning. It's the 1st of August. Brand new month. Lots of things to get stuck into. There's lots to get your head around. And it's an exciting new month. What are you going to do in August that you didn't get done in July?
Ooh.
Yeah. My buddy says she woke up at like 2 in the morning. Her car alarm was on.
Yeah. It got me startled, and it took a few seconds before I realized it was my car alarm.
You're like, oh, those fucking neighbors.
So I look out the window. There's nobody there. There's nothing that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
So I was confused, and I thought, well, I suppose I better get the key and try and take care of the situation. And then it just stopped ringing on its own. I was very confused.
Mm-hmm. But if there was someone standing there, what would your go-to plan be? Just shout abuse from your window, or would you literally go there with a big knife?
Jeez, I suppose I would have grabbed my phone and call security and say, guys, there's someone lurking next to my car. Let's do something. I don't know what I would have done.
What would you do?
It's a good question. I think instinctively you would shout at someone.
Hey!
I think that's what goes in your mind. But the rational mind is, if a person's got a weapon, don't try anything. Unless you are Steven Seagal and you are trained hand-to-hand combat-wise.
Yeah.
Thin Steven Seagal, not the fat one.
Thin Steven Seagal. I would probably also just shout and scream.
I don't know. I've never been in that kind of fight-or-flight situation, so I don't actually know what my reaction would be. Some people tend to run towards the danger to try and deal with it. Others, like me, run away from it. So I think I would have just picked up my cell phone and started calling people. I don't know who.
Look, in my current situation, I've got a pawpaw that's probably gone. And you know, a cog is below where I am. So I probably would have thrown that and taken it from there.
Fruit and veg. Fruit and veg is always a good...
Because it's insulting to be hit with a pawpaw.
Yeah, it's very insulting. Especially if you're trying to steal
like,
a car.
You know, that's it.
Especially a rotten pawpaw.
Imagine a rotten pawpaw to the back of your head. You're going to go, that's it. I give up. I give up this crime game right
give
now.
Give up on life.
I'm going to go home.
Like, I'm going to score a car here, but you end up going home smelling a pawpaw with pips all over you.
Oh.
Not good. Flax, what would you do if you saw someone outside at your car lurking there trying to steal it?
You see, I'm more of a fighter.
Really?
So I probably would have sneaked up on the dude with my paintball gun and like shot him till I had arthritis in my finger. Just doosh, 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 doosh.
What if he had a gun?
Then probably I'd die that day.
Yeah, well, this is not good planning, you understand.
Because the fact that someone's taking my stuff pisses me off, and I can't live with that.
What'd you do, Pashida?
I'll throw my shoes at him.
Shoes?
Yes, I'll just start screaming and throw my shoes at him.
That's what Iraqis used to do to George W. Bush. Statues of Saddam.
Just fight.
Oh, I can't believe the election's 2 days away.
Huh.
Oh, wow. Huh?
Yeah, Wednesday. Where are you voting? How far or close is your voting station?
Oh, I could walk there if I wanted to.
Yeah, that's
but I won't. I'm lazy.
Laziness.
I hate going to the election polls because, you know, you've got all the people who support there, and they look at you like they know who you're going to vote for. So the DA people, they see me and they're like, ah, one of ours. I'm like, oh, I hate you for that. And then the EFF people are like, oh no, that white guy's going to vote for the DA. And the ANC people are just, they're just glum because I don't think they do very well in my ward.
Don't worry, it's not just you. I mean, the assumption is that every black person votes ANC.
Right.
So it's across the board.
You know, it's such a good thing, actually, that it's secret once you're in that ballot box, because, in that booth, rather. Because otherwise, I think people would be horrible to each other. Like, if you knew for a fact what someone voted.
Yeah, if you came out with, like, a different wristband. Imagine that.
I think people would hate each other. Imagine if families... Because I've heard that there are a lot of families in South Africa where the mom will vote a certain way, the dad another way, and the children, if they're old enough, another way.
Yes.
And I imagine that must be, first of all, I got to compliment families like that because you're all very open-minded.
Progressive.
Yeah, but it can't make for easy political discussions when the news comes on.
No.
You know, there was this woman without teeth on TV over the weekend. And she had no teeth. She's an old gogo. She has... She says, I've been put by the ANC until I am dead.
Yeah.
Ooh. She's like, died in the wool ANC.
You get them.
Maybe her kids are like...
EFF.
Yeah. and they're upset with her because she won't change. And they're like, but come on, ANC's done nothing for you. But she is... She doesn't care about that. She's in. She's ANC 100%. So there's an interesting article in the Daily Maverick today. And you can always get these articles by following the cliffcentral.com newsletter. They're all part of it. But this one is by Marianne Merton. She says, just let me give you the basic synopsis here. The local government election contest has been nowhere as bruising as in Nelson Mandela Bay Metro, where it showcased a heady confluence of local and national political dynamics. The industrial heartland of the Eastern Cape, centered on automotive industries, has seen the high-level, high-profile deployment of both the ANC and DA national leadership as the party scrapped, I can't read this morning, to find dirt on each other's mayoral candidates. It's been a taxing fight, and its outcome may well set the national political tone going ahead. A win for the ANC would allow the party to tout continued support, while victory for the DA lets the country's largest opposition proclaim change. If there's no outright winner, no matter what by tiny margin, it could recalibrate the political scales. So she's basically saying that Nelson Mandela Bay represents a massive sea change for whatever happens afterwards. Mm. I mean, it's that big a deal.
But why specifically Nelson Mandela Bay and not Tshwane? Or, I mean, I thought it was all three. Which is the third one again? That's looking likely to be interesting.
Tshwane, Johannesburg, and PE.
Yeah.
But then Justice said the other day that we should also look at Durban. Is anybody not going to vote? Peshita, you're going.
I'm still undecided.
Uh-oh. So you might not even vote.
Yeah, I don't want to commit to anything.
Wow. Must have been hard for your husband to marry you. I don't know if I want to go for dinner with you. I don't know if I want to go for a drink with you. I don't know if I want to have coffee with you. I don't know if I want to go to a movie with you. I don't like to commit.
I really don't know.
Flax, you're registered, huh?
Yes, this is the first year I'm ever going to be voting.
Really?
I've decided I'm putting no thought into it. When I'm in the line, it will hit me who I want, and that is who I will tick.
Oh, God.
Okay.
You are a politician's worst nightmare, because they've been trying to convince you for the last 6 months about why they're the best, and you're like, nah. I'm going to make up my mind in the queue.
And that's the reason. I want to do it under pressure, where I put up all my options quickly, put them against each other, and bam.
Why don't you pick up the pencil and go dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum and just drop the pencil on one of them and choose that one?
How many are there?
I don't know. It's quite a lot, depending on your ward. There are a lot of parties, huh?
Yeah. Just be ready for that, Flex, because I get the sense that you're going to walk in there feeling under pressure, and then you're going to feel all intimidated by the 200-odd listed parties. Mm. Don't let that mess with you.
But surely, the good ones are at the top.
No, you wish. You could actually look for them. That's why, you know what we were saying the other day? There are a couple of things. Ben says you can't vote ANC. He says you've got to vote DA if you want change. Mabali and I are like, we shouldn't vote for those little small anyana parties, because otherwise we're wasting our vote. Right? That's what Justice said.
Yeah, Freiheit Front, Baba. Can't vote for them. Mm-mm. Can't. No,
even though, a week back, you were so keen.
You want to, but you know you shouldn't.
Yeah, I want to, Ben.
All right, well, you know what? We've got a couple of hours to decide now. Kabza says, morning, Gareth. I haven't heard anything with regard to that portfolio you're launching with Anthea. What's the update? Well, it is going ahead. It's just taking a little bit of the detail that we have to sort out in terms of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. As soon as that's ready to go, legal, you will be first.
Yeah. Legal ramifications must be considered.
Which is annoying. And Ben, please don't say anything about the Rand, according to Andrew. We don't want the Rand to start performing like Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm. Yeah. And Livio wants to know, what is the new app we'll be launching? Can't remember. It's called Touch Central, and we'll tell you more about that at the launch, but at the moment you can go on to touchcentral.fm and register. Really good. Thousands of people who have done that, and you can join their number by going on to the internet, and signing up. touchcentral.fm. Okay? Got it?
Mm. Got it.
All right. What else is going on? Let's talk some news.
Well, the man who voiced Postman Pat, he's now dead.
Really?
The original man of Postman Pat.
Do we know what his name is and how old he was?
That's not important right now. But the important thing is you to really basically know. Appreciate the fact that for many people's childhoods, Pat.
I don't remember how Pat sounded. Do you?
No.
He's no longer with us. You know, we're talking about 2016, the year of really, you know, lots of people, influential, famous people have died. And here's another one.
This is an influential, famous person.
The right one there. Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat,
and his black and white cat. Meow. Sounds like the recent one. You like the old one?
Yeah, the original one. The original Pat.
Alright. I'll find the original for you. You don't like anything that's too modern, Ben. That's why you were such a fan of Downton Abbey, right?
No, but I mean, like, why must we give credit to this new upstart when the original guy made Postman Pat famous? I mean, right. He was a bloody postman, and he was interesting.
Is that old enough? You can hardly hear what's going on. Is that old enough for you? That sounds so crap.
I'm not the only one who grew up watching Postman Pat. Come on.
All right, let me try this one more time. Here it is. Postman Pat, the original theme. Listen. Are you ready? No, here it comes.
Good afternoon and welcome to BBC Two, where we begin our afternoon on the seesaw with Postman Pat taking a message.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat.
It's
the same.
No funny meow.
That's just the same.
He picks up all the post bags in his van.
A van.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat.
By the way, what a pedophile van it was.
No one does.
All the birds are singing, yeah. And the day is just beginning. Pat feels he's a really happy man. Everybody knows his life red.
So this guy's dead.
Which guy? The one singing or the
theme tune guy? Pat himself.
Oh, the guy who was Postman Pat.
Your sensitivity around this, both of you, is really unbecoming.
You don't even know his name.
Pat, don't give a shit.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat.
This is that happy music.
His name was Ken Berry.
This is too long a theme song.
A really happy man.
His name was Ken Berry, and he was 83.
All right.
He's a really happy man.
I could get into this.
Pat feels he.
All right, enough of that bullshit. What else is going on?
Do you remember once upon a time having your own fragrance as a celebrity used to be the in thing?
Now everybody's got a fragrance.
Now everybody's got a fragrance, so it doesn't really matter anymore. It's not as exciting.
Flax, which celebrity fragrance do you have? I know you've got one. Don't bullshit me. Come on.
No, I really don't.
No?
I'm not very big on fragrances, though. The only thing I wear is Armani Sport.
Okay. That's kind of...
Yeah, I don't think I've ever owned...
Someone
like
who likes celebrities as much as you do, I'm surprised.
But is that because Bieber doesn't have a fragrance?
No, Bieber does have a fragrance.
So why don't you wear it?
I don't even think you get it here.
Oh, that's why he's not wearing it.
What's it called?
Hey, Flax gave me the new Bieber song. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, it's a banger of note. Bring the mash, because got the bangers for breakfast.
Well, we're just going to play a little bit of it. I'm not going to play the whole thing.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Everybody gets high sometimes, you know. What else can we do when we're feeling low? So take a deep breath and let it go. You shouldn't be drowning on your own. And if you feel you're sinking, I will jump right over into cold, cold water for you. And all the time may take us into different places, I will still be patient with you.
What do we think of that?
Well, it's no Postman Pat theme tune, but...
Oh, well, yeah. Speaking of Speaking of the Postman Pat theme tune, someone's just sent me a link to something that I think Ben would like. It's a Northeastern Postman Pat.
Oh, this is brilliant. I've heard
it. Have you heard it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, but before we get to that, here is a rude version of Postman Pat, which you also want to hear.
Meh, meh, fucking meow. Here we go. First stop, Hamilton. Meow, what have you got? Oh, not fucking eBay again. The greedy cunts. Get, open the door, open the fucking
door. Is this
door,
the one that you're thinking of?
Fucking, it's all fake. I'm going to fucking jail for this, you know. I'm fucking telling you. Oh, Jess, what's that? What's that there? Look, dicky beds. Get him. Get him. Go, you fucking shithouse.
Oh, wow. That's revolting. Is that also the same voice actor?
That was much of the same guy.
All right. Okay. What else have we got?
No, we were talking about these celebrity fragrances. So that's all done and dusted. It's boring now. Nobody cares about your fragrance.
All right.
The new in thing seems to be to have an emoji if you are a celeb.
Mm. Oh.
Thanks to, I think Kim Kardashian was the first. Was
yeah,
Kim Kardashian
Kimoji
the first?
Was the
okay,
first.
Kimoji, Kimoji was the first. Yeah. So everybody has been following in Kim Kardashian's
Holy
footsteps.
Hell. I saw yesterday, I don't watch TV, right?
Mm.
Yesterday I turned on Trace and I saw Fergie's new music video.
Oh, God, MILF.
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 Jeez. They've got, there's Kim in there?
Yeah.
Kim K, Kim Kardashian. Kim Kanye West, Kim, right?
That one.
Yeah. But Fergie looks so good.
Yeah.
I thought she was past, she was over the hill, she was past her prime.
Fergie has never
she looks
looked bad, though.
Good.
She's always had a Deutsch wow. body on her.
She looks fantastic.
Gorgeous Miami mommy.
Yeah.
There's also Chrissy Teigen in that music video, I think.
Is oh, that yeah. who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
John Legend's wife.
Yeah.
She breastfeeds live.
Oh, okay, that's nice.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, no, sure, go for it.
Good.
Go for it. Huh? We're sick and tired of seeing music video girls shaking their asses.
Yeah.
Much rather want to see women breastfeeding. I'm for it.
I don't have a problem with it.
Very sexy.
All right.
Okay, so Robbie Williams. Would you actually install a Robbie Williams emoji?
No, what is it?
You'd have to be very lame to
No,
have.
I mean,
so what was the emoji?
So he's got some?
Robbie Emoji app. That's what it is.
So what, like an empty whiskey bottle, tears of sadness, terrible tattoos.
You know, Ben, it features Robbie Williams-inspired emojis. There's GIFs, there's videos and audio clips, as well as an option to create a Robbie Williams meme.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know
oh,
that...
Oh, no.
These
are so bad.
Oh, no.
So bad.
Does Justin Bieber have emojis? I'm sure he does, ne?
Yeah, he does, right?
There's 14 celebrities that have emojis so far.
Who
okay,
else?
Tell
Starting
me.
Off with Kimoji.
Yes.
Then you've got Steph Moji, who's Steph Curry. I think he's the NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just Moji, who's Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You have Fetty Wap. Chai Moji, which is Black China. You have Future. Move Moji, who's Amber Rose. You have Rick
Move
Ross.
Emoji.
Shinoji, who's Charlie Sheen.
Shinoji.
Shinoji.
Yuck.
Wiz Moji, who's Wiz Khalifa.
Yeah.
Young Emojis by Fabulous. He's a rapper.
Uh-huh.
You have The Game. You have Dennis Graham, who's Drake's dad, has his own emoji.
His dad has his emojis.
Dad.
That is so bad. Imagine you download those. Where would you even use Drake's dad?
I don't even know.
Listen, have you... Just get out your phone quickly. We did this once before, but it's worth doing again. So what emoji is your most used one?
Okay.
Always that winky half-face guy. He does a lot for me.
Which one?
Yeah, the guy's smiling, but he's also winking. It's kind of like I'm saying I'm smiling.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's mine as well. Yeah, that's mine too. That's number one for me. I've also got the fire one, I think because of CEO Sleepout the other day. I've got the icicle, the thumbs up, the arm flexing, the monkey with his hands over his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The I don't know why I've got the fishing rod with the fish on it. Mm. That makes no sense.
That's weird.
Yeah, very bizarre.
Upside down smile face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mubs, what do you got?
I have the laughing hysterically one as my most frequently used.
With the tears coming out
with
of the
With the tears eye. Coming out. Then the one with the smile and the hearts in the eyes.
Oh. Yeah, you're so romantic.
And then I've got the sick emoji. I don't know what I've been doing lately, but yeah.
What do you got, Flex?
I have, of course, number one, which is number one in the world, is that laughing one with the tears coming out the eyes.
Oh, is that the number one in the world?
Yeah, they did statistics. That's the number one used emoji in the world.
I find that interesting because I've never cried while laughing at a message. So people lie a lot, basically.
It's sort of like when you have to reply, but you have nothing to say, but you don't want them to ever come to you in the shop and be like, look, you didn't reply to me 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep, so you give them tears and a smile. So,
and then it counts basically as a reply.
Cool.
Then I've got, of course, like that grin one and the monkey with his hand over the eyes.
For me, my number one is that guy who's laughing hysterically with his eyes closed, his head shaking.
Oh, that one.
Yes, and I also have the kissing one with the heart. Kisses, kisses, kisses. Yes.
Nice.
And hand clapping. I clap a lot.
Don't you feel better that we've all got that out there now? We've opened up about our emojis. You feel good about yourself?
No.
My emojis, of course, are emojis of color, because that's just how it is.
Do you use the very black one?
No.
Half black one? Because you got to choose, right?
I don't use the...
This is important.
Yeah, there are... How many levels are there to this?
Five. There are five levels.
I use the second... I use the second last one, so not the very last.
I often use the second on the left.
You use emojis of color.
Well, look at me. I'm not yellow.
No, you're vanilla, Ben.
Ben uses emojis of color. This is very progressive.
I'm basically the second one along.
The only one I've got that is of color is the fist raised in the air, like the black power one.
Yeah.
That one I've got.
Okay, very appropriate.
But it's also not the blackest one. We're not Senegalese. We are kind of Northwest Province. That's what I would like.
Okay.
All right, very, very exciting. This is the dumbest way to start your Monday. Oh, by the way, we've got an exciting new way to start your Monday. Starting at 9 o'clock this morning, the new Auto Central show.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh.
Yes, we have moved Auto Central to a Monday morning at 9 o'clock for your listening pleasure with a whole new array of exciting things going on the show. New host, new everything.
Yay.
It's being polished up like a brand new car.
That's exciting.
It is, huh?
I'm gonna ask about my 2 a.m. alarm situation, actually.
Yes.
I'm going to go ask the guys.
You can.
Yeah.
Because they'll all be here and ready to go. The other thing that's happening this morning is that Rich Mulholland is popping by. We've got an interview with a really, really interesting dude who I actually met him two and a half weeks ago. His name is Ndangwa Noyo. He is an academic. He wrote a book called The Wrong Things About Africa. And this is a fascinating interview. I've been waiting to play this for you for the longest time. He's a postdoctoral fellow at the Fondation Maison des Sciences de l'Homme in Paris. He's been published widely on African political issues. He's a former student activist. He was one of the 32 University of Zambia students who were arrested in 1990 for standing up to Kenneth Kaunda.
Hmm.
So he's an activist in a real sense. Like, he went to jail for his activism. He's not a slacktivist, like those people on Twitter who say that they're activists, but they've never done anything, right?
Their weapon of choice is hashtags.
Correct. So he actually went to jail for opposing Kenneth Kaunda, and he has a fascinating take on what's going on in Africa and what we should do to fix the things that are wrong. That's what his book is about.
Okay, that will be very interesting to hear.
Ndangwa Noyo. And you will hear that interview in just a little while from now. But first of all, let's get into a little... Monday morning, first thing, wake up call, clear your mind, get things figured out. What's up, Flex?
I don't know if you guys have seen, but Rich Mulholland's wife has become a viral sensation on the internet.
I know. She's dancing up a storm.
Legit viral sensation.
Yeah. Now, what is Jazz doing? When did she start doing this, Rich? What's going on there? Let me. Shall I give you your theme music before we carry on? Here's your theme music. Most horrible theme music in the world.
You're welcome to Bonnie Richard.
All right, so what happened with your wife and this dancing? For those people who don't know, there are videos on YouTube of your wife that have gone viral. Everybody's spreading them around. She's just having the time of her life. She's dancing around in your house, either in the bedroom or the kitchen or wherever else she is, but she's just having a really good time.
Yeah, it's quite funny. So what happened was she has a coach, a life coach, by the name of Joe, and every Friday Joe posts this thing to all the people on her Facebook group, and she issues a challenge, and it's kind of one of these let go, do something silly, you know, show the world you just don't care kind of thing, and I put up a challenge, and the first one was just dance and have fun, the second one was lip sync, and then the one that went up last night was dance like Michael Jackson. And so this coach, and then all these people, all this woman's clients post these videos all over. It's pretty cool. And it's like all these people, they're just kind of letting go. And some
do you film her? Or
yes. Oh. Yeah, oh, I get her. Yeah. Yeah, she says to me, you're terrifying, terrifying, terrifying. And then so we do that. But it's fun. I sit there giggling away while she's doing it.
So when are you going to accept one of her challenges and we'll hopefully see you dancing, Rich?
Oh, no. You see, this is her thing. Everybody has to have a thing.
Okay.
This is Jazz's thing. This is my thing.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
It's just nice to see someone having fun. You know, the internet is so full of nastiness and shittiness that it's cool to see someone who's enjoying her life.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. That is the big thing, right? Just having a laugh. I need to actually apologize to the internet. Apparently, I did something wrong this morning.
What did you do?
I posted a joke. It said, a blonde was driving along the road, and she heard over the radio about two Brazilian men died in an accident. And she started to cry and said, oh, my God, how many is a Brazilian?
Oh, God. So did you get shit about that?
I got told that blonde shaming is no longer cool.
Oh, wait a minute. We have blonde shaming?
Yep, blonde shaming is no longer cool. And I got told that it's stopping blonde women from getting jobs.
Who knew you had that
now,
much power?
Now, bear in mind as well, what I do want to say is that I find that deeply offensive to blonde men. Because I did not pick a gender. I just said a blonde.
What the difference?
Gareth is offended.
How did you spell it? B-L-O-N-D or B-L-O...
Well, I didn't. I just N-D-E. Reposted the meme. I wasn't even that smart.
Well, if you've got an E at the end of it, it's a woman.
What? Ha! Okay.
Who did it... So if you are blonde without the
because
you're
a
man. Need to wait on that, right? So you got to be blondetron because you because how dare we use anything to denote gender? Oh, this is amazing! It's like a new pronoun. Color? What color their hair is?
You get into as much trouble as I do.
Oh yeah, it's
about,
a hobby.
Yeah, because we're not politically correct about things like Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
I was talking about that new ad that Caitlyn Jenner has just done for H&M clothing, which is very bizarre. Caitlyn has not changed her voice at all. She's not even trying to sound at all feminine. I'll play a little bit for you. You tell me. Rich, you're a good judge of this stuff. I played it for my buddy and Ben earlier. They were non-committal.
I thought it was too late.
I mean, that's not... Yeah, that was the reaction I was hoping for.
I thought it was too late.
I'm so sorry for everyone there that was just offended by that.
Yeah.
What would Caitlyn actually have to do, though? Just take it.
Like, you could do a slightly more feminine voice.
Yeah, but are you going to go around...
Rich, give me a feminine Rich.
Hi, Gareth.
There we go.
Although it's always husky, right? It's never just feminine. It's always like...
Yeah.
It's always phone sex.
What's that, Ben?
That's just who you would be. It's fine, though, Rich.
Yeah,
how about,
exactly.
Okay, Ben, if you had to pretend the upper Rich would be...
Actually, this is difficult.
Hi, Ben.
I don't want to talk after hearing this.
I'd be like, hi, I'm Gareth. Right?
You see, though, we all sound like phone sex people, though. When you do it, now, and eventually you're going to get tired of whisper speaking to people.
Yeah, but, but at least
like
you're trying.
You're trying to just pay for your bill. Hi, just give me the bill. And the guy's like, listen, give me a boner. You know, there's a problem here that we can't just all be speaking. But yeah, but couldn't you, I mean, out of interest, can't you just get, you know, when you're doing surgery and stuff, surely there's something you can do to get your...
Yes, that's what I'm asking is what would Caitlyn actually have to do to satisfy Gareth's
Stephen Hawking
on her having
just
a feminine voice?
But guys, are we not missing the big issue here? It's not got to do with balls.
No.
Well,
you got to put your voice. You just got to try and sound like he.
Yeah, but
she,
I mean,
she wants.
Well,
to
listen,
be
gay people can do it, right? Because it always amazes me that if you're no, this is an absolute.
No, I'm letting you dig your own hole.
There's not a hole here. Because Brent and Andrew and I have had this chat at length, and they're two gay guys, and we're discussing it.
Okay.
And in fact, it was them who brought up to me that nothing is more frustrating than for them when they have this friend who's totally straight, speaks normal, blah 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 blah, then comes out the closet and magically has that, and like the voice changes. changes. Like, overnight. It's not the act of being gay that makes you change your voice. It's the act of coming out of your closet. Does that mean that for years they've been doing, like, closet everybody and faking it? Now they're just back to normal. Like, it really is quite amazing to me. And in fact, it was my gay friends that brought it up. So, guys, you know, I have gay friends, right. Okay?
I've got to play this. Rich has actually got something he wants to tell us. But before that, here's Caitlyn Jenner practicing the girl voice for Kim Kardashian, all right?
Caitlyn Jenner shows off her best feminine voice for Kim K in a new I Am Kate promo. Today's episode of Clever Newsfeed is brought to you by T-Mobile.
Okay, thanks for that.
Caitlyn's physical appearance finally matches who she's always been on the inside. But she does reveal that getting her voice to a feminine octave has been no easy task. In a new clip from I Am Kate, Caitlyn sits down with Kim Kardashian and her friend Malika for some girl chat and reveals that in an attempt to test if she could convince people that she was a woman by the sound of her voice alone, Caitlyn needs to call.
I think we're just
going to
hear this woman talking.
You think so?
You know what's funny?
You don't think it has the clip?
We're hearing this woman for so
long. Here we go. Here's the clip. Here we go.
Can help me.
Front desk. Really adorable.
Okay.
Check it out.
Adorbs. Yeah.
Front desk. Hey, this is room service. How can I help you?
Yes, actually, you can help me.
no difference.
I didn't think so.
Sir, what would you like, sir?
Okay, so if Kim can say it, then we can say it too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although Kate...
All right, enough of that. No effort at all.
Yeah.
All right, what is it that was on your mind that you want to get off your chest?
I want to talk about blackheads.
What?
Blackheads.
That's pimples, right?
Yeah, stuff pimples. That you,
yeah stuff blackheads. What color are they?
Dark?
So here's
they're
the
white.
They're white. They are white. Like if you
aren't those white heads, though?
No. Blackheads are black on the top, and then you squeeze them a little bit, and you get out the goodness. You get out the fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then they come, they've got this big white root, which actually is a great... Yeah, Gareth. Okay, which is actually a great, funny enough, and I only thought about this on the way here. It's not actually my point, but a great metaphor for South Africa. Oh, black people commit all the crime. Oh, yeah, because you've oppressed them for, like, centuries, you fuckers. Like, no wonder. You know, when you squeeze a little harder, you find the truth.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Right?
And you're right because, for example, we talk about things like hijacking. You find out when you do a little research that the guys who own these hijacking syndicates and who actually sell the cars and have the scrap metal dealerships, these are not like the black guys who are stealing the cars. It's these white dudes who live in like golf estates and stuff.
But even, I mean, just up on any level of the kind of the systematic oppression is the backstory and we're seeing a manifestation thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen that show? What's it called? Baltimore Police Show, The Wire. Best television series I've ever watched in my life.
Is that the one with Idris Elba in it? No, it's not.
The first episode or two, you're going to struggle to pick up on because the guys have such accents. But basically, season one shows it as the drug street culture. But every season digs deeper and deeper and deeper until eventually you see who the real criminals are.
Huh.
And you go back. It is phenomenal. And it finishes. Like, it's going to start and an end, so it's worth watching. Anyway, I want to talk about blackheading as an idea of opinion garnering. And I'm going to start off with this thing about Brexit very, very briefly. I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. Brexit comes out, and I wake up in the morning, and the truth is, because I'm not on the show all the time, I actually don't have as much of a take on current affairs as I'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up in the morning, and I'd kind of vaguely looked at what Brexit was about, and I'd read like half an article. And I woke up in the morning, and I saw Brexit happened, and I was like, oh my God, this is terrible, blah, 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 blah. And I saw that everyone said it was terrible, so I said it was terrible. The truth of the matter is, had everybody turned around and said, oh, this is amazing, best thing that ever happened, I would have agreed with them, because I didn't dig deep enough, right? I actually don't have an opinion. The truth of the matter is, I've asked a bunch of people, when they tell me, oh, Brexit, this is so stupid, I can't believe it. Lines like, oh, now, you know, guys like Donald Trump have a chance because if Brexit can happen, so can Trump. And then I said to them, okay, I'm a bit confused. Explain to me what this Brexit thing actually means. Oh, well, it means, no, but I mean, what does it really mean? What's the real issue here? Nobody knows.
And they don't know.
Nobody knows. Yeah. And myself included, by the way, I'm certainly not limiting this to other people. We have opinions on things based on looking at the surface. So we go onto social media and we see what the trend is. Oh, this is is bad. This is the blackhead bit. But we don't squeeze any harder, so we don't get, I love the metaphor. So we don't actually get to the real source of things.
Because we feel so pressured to have an opinion. Isn't that part of the problem?
Right, that is the problem. We have opinion pressure. So we feel that we must have an opinion, and more importantly, we must have the prevailing opinion of our peers. So if our peers all say Brexit is stupid, we all have to say Brexit is stupid, but none of us, we have amnesty on researching. None of us have to bother looking into it in any way to see what it really means. And what we do feel is reading one or two articles, maybe, at best, and by reading I mean skimming the top three paragraphs, sure. Is enough. Anyway, I believe this is what happened last week. Because last week I had the most ridiculous set of arguments, unfounded, baseless, stupid arguments with smart people about the CEO sleep out. Your argument against the CEO sleep out is undefensible. I will argue with any person at any time on any platform about the CEO sleep out. You will lose because if you're arguing against it, you are a fucking idiot. There is nothing else to this.
Explain.
Okay. So there is a number of things. The arguments I've seen, I saw one.
I'll give you some of the arguments. Yep. Okay, let me try. First argument. Oh, just because these CEOs are sleeping out on the bridge doesn't mean that they're doing anything.
No, what they are doing is, I can say this because I participated a year ago and I spent 100,000 rand for the privilege of doing that. Now, here's the great thing. That when I spent that 100,000 rand, I actually got to be on a bridge with a bunch of really cool, interesting people that I thoroughly enjoyed. I am absolutely the first person to tell you that it wasn't like I woke up the next morning and my life was changed because I understood what homeless people were. I had a great evening with great people. But I gave 100,000 rand for the privilege that went towards making other people's lives better. Mm-hmm. Even if I was dancing on a stripper pole the whole night. Oh. Right?
Sorry, I'm getting visuals.
Oh, yeah, no, but now of my wife, which is quite bizarre. Jazzy, I know you don't strip. Even if I was dancing for charity, right? Because we've done things for charity forever. Yeah. We've done golf days for charity.
Right.
You know, where people are having... It's not like we have to walk around miserable or, like, punch yourself in the nuts because we're raising money for testicular cancer. Oh, guys, if you're not getting kicked in the nuts, you can't raise money for testicular cancer. Because you don't know how it feels. So that's what we must all do, okay? Don't grow a mustache on your nose for Movember because then you're just a poser. So anyone who's grown a mustache from Movember to raise awareness for charity what is it? Testicular cancer? What's that
one? I don't know.
It is testicular.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's not. It's not hairy nose cancer. So if you're doing that, you're just saying, look at me, I'm a big giver. And if you were complaining yesterday and you did Movember, if I've heard you, you're a fucking hypocrite, okay? So stop it.
Okay.
Then I saw one of my clients who runs a big charity race. They run a race where everybody wears they're a big client, so I must be careful. But they raise their company's colors, and they race in their company. And it's strangers. You and I race in this company's colors to raise money and awareness for charity. Now that person was complaining about the CEOs doing this. No, bullshit. Here's the bottom line. Our lives made better after one night. 31 million rand was raised. And in fact, it will actually amount to more,
yeah.
Right? But at baseline, 31 million rand was raised. That makes it the single most effective fundraising evening. You know what? Another example of this, where this happened before, Red Nose Day.
Mm.
Red Nose Day was about laughing and having fun. The entire beauty of the day was having fun and raising money for charity. Nobody got upset with Comic Relief to say, but today they would. Guys, how dare we laugh? We're laughing when other people are suffering. Yes, but we're laughing to raise money for other people suffering. You know who I didn't hear complaining? Homeless people. The homeless people, in fact, I did look in News 24. They published a bunch of videos of the homeless people who got the blankets. Thousands of people that night got blankets. Mm-hmm. Then my favorite argument by stupid people. Okay? If you want to show me you are a stupid person, I want you to set up this complaint, because it's so funny. It's like an advert. Hey, man, I am thick. And it's the one that says, oh, but they didn't even raise money for the homeless. They raised money for education. How the fuck do you fix homelessness without education? You are wanting to put an ambulance in the valley. They're trying to put a fence at the top of the cliff. They're stopping people fall over, and you're complaining about it. You have no defensible position. You are an asshole idiot. Dig deeper. Squeeze harder. You have no point.
I have another argument for you.
Oh, good. fantastic.
Oh, great.
Hey, listen, I'm about, you know, getting you to that point that we all love to get you to. What about the argument? They are making a mockery of the plight of homelessness because these CEOs tomorrow night get to go back to their lavish homes and sleep in a warm bed again. Why did they even have blankets, Richard?
Well, first of all, homeless people have blankets. I don't know if you noticed that, right? This is not, I mean, homeless people actually do have blankets as well. Second of all, again, making a mockery of. This goes exactly back to the comic relief thing. We're raising money using humor. You know what, though? The homeless people, what we're trying to do is solve a problem in the most effective way we can. And if CEOs sleep on, and here's the one thing for me, right? Let's say one of those CEOs had a really rough night. And that CEO goes back to the office and says, you know what, Em? This is a big deal. Like, for example, in the CEO of Investec, who gave away an inner city building years ago to people, an inner city skyscraper to people, right, to help them. These kind of people, if one person has that reaction, then you have changed thousands of lives. As it is, thousands of lives have been changed.
Right.
As it is. And here's my question to you. Let's say everybody protests about this thing. Let's say the idiots win. Okay? If the idiots win, and next year we don't have a CEO sleep out, and the idiots are running around cheering, yay, we've shown them, look how smart we are.
We saved these homeless people's
dignity.
You know
what they did? Yeah. While sitting in there behind their 12,000 Rand smartphones as social crusaders, you know the only people who were affected were the 31 million recipients of the value. Or maybe not 31 million recipients, but you get my point, right?
The millions of people.
The millions of people that will receive the value of the money raised, even if it is, oh, I mean, how disgusting. How dare we educate people? Apparently, that's what we were complaining about 6 months ago, but it's not cool now. Now it's going to be the homeless plight. If you're sitting there complaining about that, the only thing that's going to happen is that's 31 million rand that will not be raised next year, that will go towards something. And then I know what you can say. You can say, oh, but then why don't they just give the money? These CEOs are already mandated to give a huge percentage of their business to CSI initiatives, to corporate social upliftment and investment. These businesses are giving at a much higher level than almost any of you. So already, this is 100,000 rand. More, 150,000 rand more, right? This is more for one evening.
Yeah.
This is like when your kid comes home and says, Mom, I've got to do a sponsored silence at school. This is that exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that we understand what people who can't speak are going through just because we don't speak for a night and then go home the next day and talk. If I wore a blindfold for one evening to understand what the blind are like, and then you told me, oh, no, but tomorrow you take off your blindfold. Well, you must rather do is stab yourself in the eyes. Oh, for fuck's sakes. Come on, guys. Every argument is indefensible. And unless you're one of the people, the only person's argument I will even vaguely accept on this issue. Oh, my favorite one. Oh, no, but some taxi drivers were put out because the roads were closed. Because the roads were closed for those taxi drivers, and those poor guys may have lost some income. Right, so one taxi driver lost a little bit of income. Well, then I want to hear you complaining when the 94.7 or any one of these races across road closures, or when your soccer event causes people's roads to be closed for cars in and out. Let's complain then. Yeah. Anyway, boom.
All right. You're
drops, mate.
I got this from Monique.
Drake's dad emoji.
Monique says, arguing with idiots is like playing chess with a pigeon. No matter how good you are, the bird is going to shit on the board and strut around like it won anyway.
That woman is my hero. Yeah. Please, I never want to forget that. Please tag me in that at Rich Mulholland. Right. I'm going to start sharing that with everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you
very much,
guys.
Rich. Have a great week.
And you too. Excellent. I just love how the shortest logical route from A to B. That's where you find Rich. CliffCentral.com.